had intention of going right back where I was last week. And if you weren't here last week, I would like to encourage you to get the word. I don't know how long we'll continue on with that, but we're going to keep on until the Lord's done with me anyway. But my attention was arrested in a different direction. And I thought that what I would do is, instead of Jonathan sharing for a moment before we take up our tithe and offering, I thought I would do this for a moment and then still share the other word. I thought I was still going to share that word. And the Lord began really stirring my heart even in a further direction with this word I'm going to give you this morning. And he said, no, this is where I want you to be, on this word. So perhaps we'll pick up next week. I'd love to, but I'm going to do what he tells me to do. If I don't, I don't have any promise of any anointing, and I really need it. The other thing is, I realized this. I don't know that you're always aware of this, but when I'm sharing the word, it's important for you to realize that you're being equipped to help other people. You're being equipped to minister to other people. You know, some people go to church with the idea of, I'm going to church and, oh, I was just so ministered to. Now, you are actually being equipped to go minister to other people, wherever you are, you know? So that, we may be a little different in that, or a little different type of mindset in that, but know that the word I'm sharing with you today, you need to help a whole lot of other people with this word. Okay? All right, so I'm charging you. I'm charging you with this word. It's really happy birthday, America. Do you know it's 247 years? She's 200. She old, isn't she? She's old. You know, I said a few weeks ago, here a while back, that the Lord spoke to me in the fall of the year saying that he wanted us to become more kingdom-minded. And, you know, to be able to see things, learn to see things from a kingdom perspective, to learn to think about things from a kingdom perspective, to learn to respond to things from a kingdom perspective, from kingdom mindset, that I think about things from the kingdom, not from the world's way or how maybe mom or whoever taught me, but I think about it from kingdom. And I realized in this word, this is a kingdom-minded word this morning, okay? This is something to really help us become more kingdom-minded and understand that this Bible is a book of covenant, or covenants, covenants, plural. It is covenants. We have the old covenant, we have the new covenant. There are covenants that were made within this Bible, made for the benefit of man, between man and God. I'm not going to go into the teaching on covenant. I love to, but I'm not going to right now. But covenant it's a blood agreement. Okay? It's a blood sworn oath. It's the most serious agreement there is known to man. Okay? And it is breakable by death or either exile. It's breakable only by death or exile. Our God is a covenant God, and he is a covenant-keeping God. So turn with me. It's real wordy this morning, but there's nothing I can say to outdo the word, right? I mean, I don't have anything any better, that's for sure. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to track. So hold on in your Bible today. I'm just going to brief through the first few verses and go to verses 5-7. This is the Lord talking to Abram, don't be afraid. I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. Then Lord, what about the fact that I'm going childless? The heir of my house is Eleazar, my servant, so forth. He says, no, your offspring, he's not your offspring. He's not to be your heir. Your offspring, the one that comes from your body, will be your heir. Took him outside in verse 5 and said, now look toward heaven, count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur, the Chaldeans, to give you this land to inherit it. So he tells him, look at the stars, so shall your descendants be. Then he talks to him about the land. And in verse 8, Abraham says, Lord God, how will I know that I inherit it? How am I going to know this? And the Lord said, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, a young pigeon. And he brought all these things to him. He cut them in two down the middle, placed each one opposite the other. Actually, they cut them in half and they drop, okay, right there. And that's the way of the blood. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and greatness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, and God said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they will come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not complete. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, let me stop there just a second, because that's just not quitting inside my spirit. Go back to that verse. In the fourth generation, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. You know, God has a time frame for stuff. And we think God should do things here, and we don't know why he isn't doing it right there. We don't understand all the things behind the scenes that God knows. Remember, he's smarter than us. The time wasn't complete yet. That's why it was going to be 400 years, okay? So when we are trying to tell God how he needs to do stuff, we need to remember God knows exactly what he's doing, and he has a time frame for things to be accomplished properly according to his will and purpose. Okay? All right. Came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made covenant with Abram. And he goes on and tells him what he's giving him land-wise. God made covenant with Abram in animal's blood. Okay? God walked through blood with Abram. Turn to Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. I think King James says, be thou perfect. And I'll make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He's born in your house, he who is bought with your money, shall be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Verse 19, because he's talking about, he's talking about Ishmael and, you know, I want Ishmael to live and so forth. And the Lord said, no, Sarah, your wife will bear you a son and you will call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. So God has made this clear who his covenant is with. Now, Exodus chapter 2, if you'll turn over there. It happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, for their cry came up to God because of the bondage. The Lord heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And he looked upon the children of Israel and God acknowledged them. It's not like God forgot the covenant he made. He didn't forget it, but somebody reminded him. Somebody reminded him. They brought attention to the covenant that had been made with their forefathers. And in their crying out before him, he remembered his covenant. Leviticus chapter 26. Our God is a covenant God. He's a covenant-keeping God. Don't ever forget that. Ever, 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 ever forget that. Verse 40, he said, if they would confess their iniquity, this is talking about if they've gotten into disobedience, sin and disobedience, but if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they also have walked contrary to me, and that I have walked contrary to them and brought them into the land of their enemies, if their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, my covenant with Isaac, my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. This is blood covenant right here involved in all of this. Blood covenant. It matters to God. Blood covenant is his word, is his oath, is his bond. It says in Hebrews when he swore to Abraham, he could swear by no greater, so he swore by himself. There was nobody else like, I swear on my mama's grave. There was nobody else he could swear by except himself. No one greater. So he swore in his own word. Okay, turn with me to Deuteronomy. Chapter 4, we skip Numbers, but it's okay. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, he will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. When you're in distress, when you turn to him, he's merciful. He won't forsake you, he won't destroy you, and he will not forget his covenant that he made. He's a covenant God, and he is a covenant-keeping God. When we think of covenant, there's something we need to realize. When we think of covenant, we're thinking about the very word of God. the very oath of God, God's bond. When you think about His word, think about His covenant. Interchange those words. When I think of His word, I'm thinking of His bond to me. I'm thinking of His covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ for me. And that I'm in that covenant. I'm in there because I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So I am in that covenant that's paid for in Jesus' blood, not the blood of animals, but the blood of Jesus. So when I think of covenant, I want to think His word. And when I think of word, I want to think His covenant, His bond. Okay, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this is David before Goliath. I'm not reading all of it. I want to get to verse 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, when he was talking about this giant he's hearing out there, defying the army of God. When the words were spoke, when they heard what he had said, they reported them to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go." Excuse me. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," the Goliath, the giant. "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Now listen what he's saying. And Saul says, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're a youth and he's a man of war from his youth." Look at the two perspectives. Okay? Think about that. Look at the two perspectives here. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and I struck it. And I delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him." Any one of y'all want to take on a lion? "Your servant killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul says, "Go, the Lord be with you." This uncircumcised Philistine, uncircumcised means what? He ain't got no covenant, not with God. He is not in covenant with God. I am. The bear wasn't in covenant with God. The lion wasn't in covenant with God. And this Philistine ain't no different than that. Right? Amen? Come on. Amen? The key is David understood his covenant. He understood, I have covenant with God. Not only do I believe it, I rely on my covenant with God. I did when I was out there keeping my father's sheep. I rely on this covenant. I believe in the God of this covenant. I believe His word is true. And I hold fast to that. His covenant is His word. His word is His oath. It's His bond. It's His covenant. I believe Him. Period. And he won. This boy knew his covenant with God. Okay? In another situation, David had made covenant with Jonathan, Saul's son. And after Saul and his sons were killed, and Jonathan was killed in there as well, David asked, "Is there anyone from the household of Saul that I can show kindness," which is the word hesed, which means covenant love. "Is there anybody from the household of Jonathan that I can show kindness to, from the household of Saul that I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake, because of covenant. Because of the covenant I made with Jonathan, I want to make sure, is there anybody?" And he did. He brought the boy in who was lame. He brought him in. He gave him back everything in the kingdom that had belonged to his daddy. His house, his servants, everything. They all had all the crops, all the everything that had been Saul's. They had all the goods from that. But Mephibosheth will sit at my table and eat. That's covenant. That's a man who knows covenant, who understands covenant. Now, Psalm 89 says this, and it's talking prophetically about the covenant, God speaking about his covenant with David. He's talking about David. And it says, it actually says, in verse, well, I'm awaiting to that from the passion. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. Verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness, there's that word hasid, I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that's gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It'll be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. I want to read that to you from the Passion Translation. It says over in verse 3, I heard the Lord say, my covenant has been made and I am forever committed to my chosen one, David. I have made my oath, it says. Okay, I'm going to read this to you from what I just read you, 33, and down just a couple verses. From the Passion Translation, it says, how could I revoke my covenant of love that I promised David? For I gave him my word, my holy, irrevocable word. How could I lie to my loving servant David? Sons of David will continue to reign on his throne, and their kingdom will endure as long as the sun is in the sky. This covenant will be an unbreakable promise that I have established for all time. Listen, y'all, we're talking about the word of the Lord. We're talking about his covenant. We're talking about what God has said stands forever. Not only is he not a man that he should lie, but he is a God who faithfully stands over his word to perform it. Period. Yeah, but I don't care what you just, this, that, or the other. God's word is true. Period. Period. I mean, you can take it to the bank and draw interest on it. It is true. Period. Amen. Now, in Ephesians 2, somebody accused me of being hard-headed. Where the things... Watch out. They accused me of being hard-headed where the things of the Word were concerned. You're hard-headed. You're stuck. You're hard-headed on the things in the Word. I said, I make no apology for that. It's his word. It isn't mine. I'm not backing off of it. I don't care. I'm not going to bend a little here and bend a little there. No, he said it and that settles it. Well, he might have meant, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. He said what he meant and he meant what he said, okay? Let's not play with the word. The word's true and it stands true. And I don't care if I got accused of that. I've been accused of worse. That was actually not a bad thing to be accused of. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that you were once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. That at that time, we were uncircumcised Gentiles, okay? At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We weren't part of that covenant. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. So we are now in this covenant. And Galatians 3 tells us, if we're in Christ, then we're Abraham's seed and we are heirs of the promise. Right? Covenant counts to God. Covenant is a big deal to the Lord. Everything else after that is based back on covenant. The nation of Israel is based, and all about it, is based on a covenant God made with Israel. We have a whole lot of questions about Israel, a lot of things we don't totally understand. But Israel is based on a covenant that God made. Now, Jesus told us in Matthew 5, he said, I didn't come to do away with the old covenant. I actually came to fulfill the old covenant. And I did it in my own blood. Well, he had not done it yet in Matthew 5, but he was doing it in his blood. Now, I want to read something to you regarding America. George Washington's first inaugural address to a joint session of Congress assembled in Federal Hall at the nation's new capital in New York City. The day was April 30th, 1789, when he is accepting and making his inaugural address as president. This was a day of making covenant with Almighty God for the United States of America. A proclamation was made for the sacred gathering at Federal Hall. Come and see your president take his oath and pray that God will accept this land as his. At 9 a.m., the bells rang throughout the city. George Washington made his official oath of office in New York City. He laid his hand on the Bible, but not just merely upon the Bible. He specifically opened it up to lay his hand upon and read the covenant that God made with Abraham in the book of Genesis. Then lifting up his arm toward heaven, Washington made a vow to lead our nation and honor the God of Israel and his covenant. The only other president that we know of who did that was Ronald Reagan. After Washington invoked his oath and covenant to the Lord, he sealed it with, "So help me God," bowed his knee to the ground in reverence, and kissed the Bible. Afterward, Washington called the senators, the newly elected officials, to join him as they walked arm in arm down the streets of New York to St. Paul's Chapel. There they bowed together, prayed, and dedicated our beloved America to God. The day that George Washington was inaugurated was the day that covenant was invoked. America belonged to Almighty God. Now, that's not to even mention even when Robert Hunt landed at there at Plymouth Rock and put that cross in the ground and said, from this land, the gospel will be preached to the rest of this, to all the people of this nation. And from here, the gospel will be preached to all the nations of the earth. And that was earlier than this. And then the Mayflower Compact. Remember that as well. So covenants had been made with God regarding America. And the first act of government that George Washington did was to enter into covenant with God Almighty for this nation. Now, I have it written somewhere. Okay, all right. A day is according to 2 Peter 3 and also Psalm 9. A day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day, right? With God. So when you get impatient, just remember his time frame is way off from yours, right? What he did, this covenant he made before God, was 234 years ago. Do you know that's approximately 15 minutes ago to God? If you stop and look at it like that, oh, Jesus. Just, if you think about it from that perspective, okay? And God is waiting for a people who understand covenant, who understand the power of covenant, what it means, and will invoke that covenant by reminding the Lord. Amen. God's waiting. This was done back there. What was the date I told you? 1789? April 30th, 1789. And God is waiting for people who will say, I know, I understand covenant. I agree. I rely on this. Your word is true. It's your bond. I trust you and I trust the power of your word. And I trust this covenant that was made before you over America. Now on March 9th, Bob and Rose Weiner were attending a small prayer group at Harvard. And he sent this to Kenneth Copeland because it bore witness to a word Kenneth Copeland gave at the end of 22 regarding America. Bob said this. He said, after a powerful time in worship, I had a vision. I was carried above the clouds looking across the expanse of the sky as if I were in an airplane. The sky was filled with bells that were ringing. Many looked like the Liberty Bell. He said, I saw Jesus walking in the midst of the bells, and then Jesus said this. You know, this is the only nation that was ever founded because the people loved me. In the history of the whole world. In the history of the whole world, this is the first nation. In the history of the whole world. First nation founded because the people love God. He said, I founded Israel because I love people. And I made Israel a great nation to bring forth the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But the United States of America was founded by a people who loved me and who desired to create a nation that would have the freedom to worship me. And then he said, I will never forget that. I will never forget that. And as he said that line, he said his voice began to break up with emotion. And he said, I could tell it was like he was holding back tears. And then he said, I'm going to move in a great spiritual awakening to call this nation back to myself. Thank you, Lord. God spoke to me September 15th, 2013. In a worship service. He said, it's getting so tattered around the edges. I've never taken it out of my Bible. He said, I have heard the cries of my people. Remember with Israel? And I said, it wasn't so much I remembered my covenant as it was somebody put me in remembrance. Somebody carried me back to covenant. Somebody did that. It wasn't like he'd forgotten. So apparently, someone in America has been praying. People have been praying and reminding God of his covenant with America. He said, and I am about to release the power of my spirit and sweep through this nation. Yea, many have prophesied America's doom, but I say I am about to pour out my spirit over her. She will arise in my power and strength, for there is a growing remnant who call upon my name, and I will strengthen and empower them. I will arise in and upon them. I am positioning for a great awakening in this nation. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't know what it's all going to look like. I know there are things written in the Word, but there is going to be a great awakening in this nation. Many will be born into the kingdom of God. He has said that time and time again, and I would not have trusted it fully had it just been me. But after I heard that word that morning in 2013, I began hearing it from this prophet, from that prophet, people that I trust that have had a track record that's trustworthy. God is waiting for us to call upon our covenant. He's waiting. He's waiting for us to call out upon our covenant. God, you're a covenant-keeping God. You have not forgotten America. You said you would pour out your spirit over her as well. But here's what the Lord said to me. He said, I want you to pray for America. He said, but I want you to pay attention to the power of covenant because I honor covenant. And when we understand and we begin to pray based on covenant, we have God's divine intervention. When we pray with covenant in mind, you're starting with the answer. You know what I'm saying? You're starting with the very answer. And that brings the confidence of knowing. And then we let the Word, the covenant, fight its own fight. Right? We just put faith in the Word. We don't fight the fight. We fight the fight of faith. And it's a good fight because we win when we do it by faith. In His Word, His bond, His covenant. How about marriage as a covenant before God? When there's issues going on in a marriage, you need to go back to your covenant you made before God. Come on. And you need to pray going back to that covenant. I made covenant with that man. And here's what I swore before God we would do. Here's what I swore before God. And ain't no devil in hell gonna stop us. Or stop us through this or this or this. You see what I mean? We need to go back to our covenant. Some people need to go back, and you need to tell people who are having marital problems, go back to your covenant. Go back to the covenant you made. God honors covenant, church. God honors covenant. You made covenant when you brought your children to the altar and gave them to the Lord. You said, I dedicate this baby to you, God, for your purpose, for you to have your will to be done in their life. And I thank God all of a sudden it hit me yesterday and I began to cry while I was watering flowers. God, I thank you for a mama who understood covenant. She said, oh, she beat that hand on that table, about break the glass. Oh, my children will be born again. I got a covenant with you, God. And she meant it too. And those boys who didn't serve God surrendered and went to be with the Lord. Those ones who did not serve God, God said, I got a covenant with that old woman. And she has been in my face every day of the world. And now she's in heaven. She's literally in my face. And they are going to surrender to my Lordship. And they did. I have to tell you, you know it's true. The one I was most concerned about was Vinnie Crowe, who we just put his ashes out Friday. I was most concerned about him, because if I ever met anybody you would have called a heathen, it would have been him. I don't mean it ugly. Heathen means without God. He not only was not serving God, he was vocally against Him. But he surrendered. He surrendered, and the Lord gave me three witnesses that morning that they told me he had passed away here in church. Three witnesses. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. He surrendered to me. He surrendered to me. And it's not that I didn't love and appreciate you and what you said, Cookie, what the Lord reminded you of and you reminded me of. It's not that I didn't appreciate or receive what you said or what you said, Jonathan, but what just absolutely was the icing on the cake is when Laura was standing here and I was about to leave and she said, can I say one thing to you before you go? She said, when I stepped off the stage during worship, I heard there would be death in your family, or there was death coming to your family or was in your family. And she said, I immediately am like, no, no. I was just getting up here to share the word. Didn't know anything about him passing away till after the service was over. Now she steps off the stage, sits down, I come up here, and she hears that word, and she's ready to rebuke death over pastor's family. And the Lord said, no, but they surrendered to me. That did it. That did it. My brother's with the Lord. They all are. They all are. Because my mama knew and understood her covenant with God. You need to do the same where your children are concerned. I gave my baby to you, God, and they're going to serve you. They might have wandered away, but they are coming back because I got a covenant with you, God. We need to pay attention to this Bible, this book of covenant, and learn how to stand on and remind him of his word. Put him in remembrance of his word. It's not that he forgot. It's not that. It's what I'm doing is I am invoking the covenant, the power of his word, of what he said. We need to do that where our provision is concerned, where our protection is concerned. Why do you think we've been saying every week, my God is able to make all grace come to me, that I, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I might have left out a word or two there, I can't say for sure. But you got the gist of it. That's covenant words right there. Those people were bringing their tithe before the Lord, and this is what Paul had to say to them. That's covenant stuff right there. Our God is able. His word is true. You bring your tithe before the Lord says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Well, I just don't understand what's happening. I bring my tithe and it don't never work out. You're not convinced that the word is true. You're just not convinced yet. That's all. How about provision? How about provision? How about, protection? How about protection? Do we trust the power of the blood of Jesus? You know, I'm figuring this. I'm about to be done. But not quite. If his blood is powerful enough to not only forgive the whole world, anybody who would accept him, if the whole world accepted him, he'd forgive the whole world. If it's powerful enough to forgive and destroy the power of sin over every person's life, destroy the power of sin and death, it's enough to keep me to go down the street, right? I mean, stop and think about it. If his blood is powerful enough to save me, his blood will keep me. Amen. Amen. We've got to learn and understand our covenant. The Lord asked Kenneth Copeland, he said, who made David king? And he answered, Samuel. He said, no, Goliath did. Whoa. He said, no, Goliath did. He said, David was my man. He knew covenant and he knew how to use it. It's that uncircumcised Philistine. He didn't say nothing about him being massively large and a man of war since his youth. None of that mattered. He didn't have covenant with God. The end. I love that. I love that. He got covenant with God. I do. Therefore, I win. When we call out to the Lord and remind him of covenant, we are invoking the power of covenant. He is moved to action. That's why Abraham did not worry about sacrificing Isaac when God told him to offer him. Number one, you already swore in blood. You already walked through blood with me. We made covenant. And you said, I will establish my covenant with Isaac and his descendants. He's got to grow up and have some descendants. This can't be the end of Isaac, right? Hello? God had already sworn that. That's all I got to say about it. At least for the moment. This God we serve is a covenant God. And he's a covenant-keeping God. And this covenant that's made, the one he made before was in the blood of animals, was in the foreskin of those men keeping covenant. But this covenant that we have been brought into was ratified in the very blood of Jesus Christ, his own son. And God ain't breaking that covenant, and Jesus ain't breaking that covenant, and we just had the wonderful blessing of being born into it, being born again and being able to be a part of it. My God. Amen. So stand to your feet. How many of you ready to go home and talk about some covenant? When I started first learning about covenant, I started looking up every scripture I could find about my children. People would say, what's the stuff that you say about your kids? I say the word. I had a teacher, Christy's second grade teacher, said to me one day, she said, you know, it's as if everything she does, she excels in. I said, that's because everything she lays her hand into, she'll prosper. I declare that over her, over my children. That's why. I mean, because the word's true. I wasn't being a smarty pants. The word is true. And I told her that. She was a Christian woman. She should understand that, right? But I did. I stood on the word for my kids. My children are going to serve the Lord. My children are going to serve the Lord. And my grandchildren will serve the Lord, every one of them. And anybody who wants to marry one of my grandchildren is going to have to serve the Lord. For real. Bam. Any one of them is going to have to surrender to his lordship. He knows it. He already knows it. He knows it. Same thing with my grandchildren. Same thing with my grandchildren. Same thing with my great-grandchildren. And as many more as get born before the Lord comes back. They're going to serve the Lord. They're going to serve the Lord. They will not escape the blood of Jesus over my household. Amen. So Lord, we just thank you. You are a covenant God and you are a covenant keeping God because you keep your word. Your word is sure. It's your bond. It's who you are. You stand under your word to perform it. You've placed your word above your name. In other words, your name is up under it, upgirding it. And we trust your word. May we become covenant-minded people, understanding this covenant that we are a part of and realizing how powerful it is and how we can stand in that place and invoke that covenant. Because we're a part of the covenant you made with your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray over this nation. George Washington made covenant before you based on the covenant that was made between you and Abraham. And he dedicated this land to you. And even in fighting the battle, he had this appeal to heaven flag put on all of his ships with that evergreen tree which stands for covenant. Saying that if we ever got in a position where it looked impossible, when everything was falling apart and we weren't going to make it, we can always appeal to heaven. And Lord, I thank you. This day we declare America there will be a third great awakening. It will awaken the church, your people who need awakening, and many, 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 many will come into the kingdom of God because of the outpouring of your Spirit over this nation. We thank you, Lord, and we declare that this day. Amen. I also declare marriages, families, finances, protection, any other situations, any other thing. We agree on covenant, right? I've had people ask me, pray for so-and-so and so-and-so. Pray about so-and-so and so-and-so. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I can pray like that. I mean, I really have to stop and think about it before the Lord. You do. You ain't got to get weird about it, but you do want to pray according to the word of the Lord. Because when I pray according to His word, I know He hears me and I know He answers. Amen. Yeah.